Epistle of Paul, the Apostle to Timothy, chapter 1, and it's the middle of verse 12. For I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Now let's review in the Acts, chapter 26. And we'll read from verse 13 for Mary. At midnight, at midday, O King, I saw in the way a light from heaven, above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me, and men which journeyed with me. And when they were all followed to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me, and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in which I will appear unto you, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom thou art sent, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance amongst them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, but showed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout the coast of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. For these causes the Jews caught me in the temple and went about to kill me. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to the small and the great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come, that Christ should suffer. We have the sufferings of Christ right before us this day. That Christ should suffer, and that he should be first that should rise from the dead, and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. And as he thus spake of himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself, much learning doth make thee mad. But he said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth words of truth and soberness. For the king knoweth of these things, before whom also I speak freely. For I am persuaded, none of these things are hidden from him. For this thing was but done in a corner. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. There are a few verses in the Gospel Bible, chapter 16, verse 19. There was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate of sores, and desiring to be fed with crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried. And in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeing Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue. For I am tormented in this way. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from hence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, I will send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto them, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. In the first scripture, we have a man who was fully persuaded. In the second scripture, King Agrippa, he was almost persuaded to be a Christian. In the last scripture, we have those who were never persuaded. During our campaign, you know, at Kenji, we thank the Lord time and time again for the blessing that he has blessed us with and saved many precious souls coming to the Lord. And you know one of the verses that has attracted our hearts more and more in those last closing days? It's a verse in Corinthians where Paul says this: knowing the terror of the Lord, he said, I desire to persuade men. I hope tonight, by the time this meeting comes to a close, you and the same friend tonight might be persuaded to be a Christian. Knowing the terror of the Lord, we desire to persuade men. I'd like to ask you to come with me and read four words out of the Old Testament and four words out of the New Testament. In 2 Book of Kings, chapter 5. I want to take you two words out of verse 11. Naaman says, I thought. Verse 15, middle of the verse, I know. I thought, I know. Now, the Acts again, chapter 36, chapter we read already. Chapter 36 of the Acts. Verse 9. I thought. Verse 3. I know. Thank you. Naaman, he was a leper, and he needed to be cleansed. And we know that the leprosy speaks of sin. But you see, the both of them said the same thing. But thank God, the both of them to change their minds. And you know that's what repentance means. It's a change of mind. It's a bit of a turn. I wonder what your thoughts are tonight. Naaman, you know, he was a wonderful man, wasn't he? Captain, honourable. Great man he was in his day and his position, but he was a leper. And he's like many people today, you know. He thinks, I should do this and I should do that to merit salvation and cleansing. But he was wrong, you know. He was wrong. He said, I thought. You remember, he went to the wrong person. He went to the king of Israel. He stood at the wrong door. But tonight, friends, we want you to change your mind. Change your mind. And of course, after he was cleansed, what a difference. Listen to his language. I know. One thing it is to be able to say, I know. Behold, I know, he says, after he was cleansed of his leprosy. Oh, yes, he put away his thoughts. He had changed his mind. Behold, I know there is no other God but the God of Israel. The Apostle Paul said the same, you know. He thought he was doing God a good turn, so to speak. Persecuting the saints and so on. I thought this. But oh, it came to the point where if you say as we've read tonight, for I know. I know in whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able, yes. I was thinking of those words to be, you know, the ability of Christ. Paul knew something of it, you know. He begins this chapter by rejoicing in God, saying that God has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works. Oh, and men and women today, you know. And they tell us when we come in contact with them, I do this, I do that. And they are trying to merit the good works to get to heaven, so to speak, and not thinking wrong, you know. I wonder if there's one in this room tonight who has wrong thoughts in connection with God and his wonderful salvation. Without money and without Christ, and it's to whosoever will. I wonder what you think of Christ tonight. You remember the great question which was raised? What think you of Christ? I wonder how your thoughts are traveling tonight as you hear once more of this wonderful Saviour. And Paul knew something about it, didn't he? When he could say, I know. Thinking of all the men and women who have used those two words, you know. I was thinking of Job today. Job says, I know that my Redeemer liveth. Yes, he had a sight of resurrection ground. I know that my Redeemer liveth. I wonder if you could use that language tonight and say, I know that my Redeemer liveth. Think of the blind man in chapter 9 of John's Gospel. Blind from his birth. Yes, they were discussing one thing and another. But listen to his language. He says, One thing I know. Once I was blind, but now I see. Oh, I hear it tonight. I wonder if you could use this language. One thing I know, Paul says, one thing is equal. One thing I know, once I was blind, but now I see. And oh, when we think of the activities of the God of this world who is blinding the mind of men that believe much light, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine upon them. Lest the light of the glorious gospel should shine upon them that being blinded by the word of this world. My Lord, tonight, in simple faith and trust, we want you to come to the Saviour. Listen to the words of the Apostle again. I know in whom. It's a person, you see. It's the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. The one who is able to save, not only able to save, but is able to keep us until that day when he'll present us to himself, that glorious church without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. Are you going to come tonight? Are you going to be fully persuaded and say, I know in whom I am believed? I was just reading a little article, you know, in the shop during the week, about two men. One who changed his mind, and one who didn't change his mind. One who was a millionaire. His name was Cecil Rhodes. Have you heard of him? The other man was a simple believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. A man who led just a few couples when he died. But oh, he was rich in faith. And you'll get that well done, thou good and faithful servant. He was William Booth, the founder of the Salvation Army. The two of them lived in their day at this decision. And no one accumulated a pile of wealth. $6 million, I think, left to the students, according to the reading of this article. You know what he said? You know what he said in his last 14 days? Well, it's according to this in this article that he would give it all to have a simple faith to believe in the Savior that William would believe in. What shall it profit a man? Should he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? I wonder what you would give tonight in exchange for your soul. If this was the last night you had to live, I wonder what you would give in exchange for your soul. God doesn't ask great things. It's a simple message to simple people. Come unto me, and I will give you rest. The Apostle Paul who says, I know, I know. Are you going to be persuaded tonight? Are you going to be fully persuaded and say, I know, in whom I have believed? What a wonderful testimony would be. Joy dwells in heaven over one sinner that repented. And we want you to come in simple faith and trust tonight and meet the Savior and be fully persuaded. Now when we come to the 26th chapter of the Acts, the Apostle Paul, he never forgot his first personal experience with the Lord Jesus. If you were to read through the Acts carefully, you would notice he tells his conversion three times. I'll tell you something. If you come to the Savior tonight, you'll never forget that personal experience with Jesus. And the Apostle Paul, you know, on the road to Damascus, threatening the saints, persecuting them, putting them in prison and so on. But you know, he was brought low. And suddenly, the scripture said, and suddenly, there was a light shone from heaven, a voice from heaven, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. Oh, I wonder tonight, if the Lord Jesus is speaking to someone here. Well, the apostle, he said he was a happy man. I didn't read the first of the chapter. He was a happy Christian. You happy in the Lord tonight? We don't meet very many happy Christians today, you know? Are we not happy, blessed people, joyful, secure? I was greatly impressed with this thought. He was happy. He told the king he was a happy man. Why was he happy? Because he was trusting in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he stood before King Agrippa. And of course, what did he preach to him? He preached Christ, and that Christ should suffer. All this has been brought before us, no doubt, in the power of the Holy Spirit this week, that Christ suffered for our sins. Mind you, he not only died for sins. The Apostle Peter says he suffered for sins. Propitiation, the just for the unjust, substitution, that he might bring it to God, reconciliation. What a wonderful Savior we have. He suffered for sins. We can imagine Paul preaching the gospel here, how Christ suffered. And he was very, but you know, he preached a full gospel. In order to let Christ on the cross, he was buried, he rose again, exalted, he's the exalted head, and he's the coming again Savior. What a wonderful Savior we have, the one who became dead, but who is alive forevermore. And he comes to King Agrippa and he says, look, he says, this thing was not done in a corner. Oh, men and women today, you know, it's funny, say, it's done in a corner. It wasn't done in a corner, you know. What do you mean? I'll tell you what it meant. But Christ was lifted up from the earth. He hung between heaven and earth. This thing was not done in a corner. Oh, I wonder what the thoughts, what thoughts run through King Agrippa's life as he was reminded of this. Could I remind you again? This thing was not done in a corner. Mind you, we'll never remember Calvary, you know. We've already seen the nail prints in his hands. We'll never forget it, you know. When we see him, we shall see the nail prints in his hands. We'll be reminded of Calvary's cross. This thing was not done in a corner. The Lord Jesus Christ in John's Gospel, he tells us, three men, he must lift it up as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. So was the Son of Man be lifted up. Why? We have no other thing to preach tonight. The Apostle says, we preach Christ crucified, buried and risen, but glorified, and he's coming again. That's the full gospel, you know. Jesus is coming again. And we see King Agrippa here, and he says, we see the Apostle Paul say to King Agrippa, he was a man, listen to his words, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. The first year of the war, there was a man came to visit me, a lad I had many school day memories, and they coming from the sea that again, it was a Friday afternoon, I remember it very well, came to my door, I've seen him for a number of years. And he didn't fully know that I was a Christian. I'd been converted just a short time before this. And I remember saying to him, well, Johnny, what about a walk? It's a lovely afternoon, we'll have a nice walk down the coast and round by the Fisher's Road. And we went down there. And we talked about many things, but we spoke about Jesus. And I can remember standing at the top of the Fisher's Road yonder, and we halted and paused for a few moments. And he was almost asleep to be a Christian. He was almost asleep to be a Christian. But sad to say, he didn't be persuaded. He couldn't be persuaded. And coming from the walk, we came back to the house and we had tea and we parted. And you know, that man like myself is very older now. We went to the school together. I saw him not long ago at his sister's funeral. And his dear sister was buried, and she fell asleep in Jesus. Wonderful sister she was in her meeting. But as far as I know, my dear friend, my dear school boyfriend, has never been persuaded to be a Christian. I tell you these young people because if he had been persuaded that day, he would save himself from many pitfalls. Because that man, you know, he landed in prison. I think he was in prison for about 9 months. And as far as I know tonight, he's still on the broad road that leads to destruction. And I always remember that day, he was almost persuaded to be a Christian. I wonder if there's one in this hall tonight who has come to this point of being almost persuaded to be a Christian. Well, could I give you a word of warning from the Word of God? My spirit shall not always strive with men. If the Spirit of God is striving with you tonight, I don't know you, from the youngest to the oldest of you, if you're under the conviction of sin and of righteousness and of judgment to come, we were reminded in our prayer meeting that the whole Godhead is in activity tonight to the salvation of your precious soul. And the Spirit's work tonight in this room, the one with us, is convincing men of sin and of righteousness and of judgment to come. I wonder if you're almost persuaded to be a Christian. Well, tonight, my dear, time's getting on. We're coming nearly to the close of this gospel meeting. And how sad it would be to see you going out this room again, almost persuaded to be a Christian. We had a man coming from Preston Fans down to the meetings. He came one of the first night, John Fleck was there. A man in the name of Andy Galloway. John Fleck tells me he prays for him every day in his house. Every day. He told him at the last meeting, I think Brother John Anderson, although the man speaking about, he's come down to him every meeting. We've had it 8 o'clock. And you know, Brother John Fleck had up to the point, almost persuaded, and he's still unseen. Almost persuaded. And Brother John Fletcher said to him the last night, when he shook hands with him, he says, Andy, he says, your name's mentioned in my house every day that you might be saved. Oh, I often think of this man. He's come down week after week, week after week. And he's listened to the gospel message time and time again. He's halted a few opinions. And he's still unsaved. Unsaved. Now this is not a story 2 years back, you know. This is up to me. Almost persuaded. Thank God we've seen some in the hall who are full of persuaded. Full of persuaded. The last night our dear brother preached about 5 young souls saved. What a sight. Tears rolling down their cheeks. And the conviction of sin for weeks. There they were, full of persuaded. Lord save me, one of the devil's cry. Lord save me, that was a prayer. I want to be saved tonight. You want to be saved tonight? Would you like to be saved tonight? I tell you, this is a night for you. You could be full of persuaded tonight. Oh, that you might come and trust the Savior. Don't walk between your opinions. What a sad condition to be in. When I think of this man again, this man who's lived in clubs and clubs all his days, this man from Preston Fans I'm telling you about, he's lived in clubs and clubs all his days, almost persuaded. Mind you, he's in his 60s. But tonight, my dear, how sad it would be if the Lord Jesus Christ was to come tonight, and you were left lost in your sins. The last scripture I read was a very solemn scripture, wasn't it? And in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. You know, they don't like the preaching of hellfire these days. I remember speaking to a Jehovah's Witness in the shop room. He told me that they didn't believe in hell. I said to him, could I read the scripture to him? And I read the scripture to him. I said, would you like to hear this preacher? Oh, there's many today, you know, that can tear some pages out of the Word of God. But you know, it can't be done. There are many tonight in a lost eternity, because that's where hell is, you know. It's at the end of a Christless life. If you reject Christ and pass your destiny into eternity, well, you'll Never again be persuaded to trust the Saviour. Oh, how sad. How sad. In this wonderful day, where the gospel is being faithfully preached, day and night, so to speak, the Spirit of God is here, convincing men of sin and of righteousness and of judgment to come. And yet, men and women are trifling with their souls, eternal salvation. Could I quote that verse again? Paul says, knowing the terror of the Lord, he desired to persuade men. I wonder if you must try to persuade a person to become a Christian. You know, if we realize what it was in God's sight to see a man saved, as the apostle said, you cannot get up to turn them from their evil ways and turn them to God. A soul saved for time and for eternity. Joy of heaven over one sinner, one look sinner that repented. Wouldn't you like to cause joy in heaven tonight? Well, if you come in your sins, we'll remind you of Naaman again. He said, I thought. I wonder what your thoughts are tonight. Well, we want you to change your mind. We can tell you many people in the scriptures who changed their mind when they came to Jesus. If you come tonight and see him in all his glory and beauty, his long suffering, not knowing that any should perish, but that all should come to him and live, you'll change your mind. As I've said, what is a change of mind? It's repentance. You know, God stands high, and it never alters. Repentance towards God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now that's the way of blessing tonight, and it's the only way. People think they can get other ways, you know. I thought. They tell us to be. I thought, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. Oh my dear, God doesn't alter his way of salvation. Salvation is of the Lord, and there's no other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we can be saved than by and through the precious, fearless name of Jesus. Would you like to be saved tonight? Wouldn't you like to be fully persuaded and see with the Apostle Paul and with us tonight? I know in whom I, as a person, we want you to come in touch with Jesus. This glorious man, the man of Calvary, the man of God's counsel, the man in the glory of the room to speak about, the coming one, is coming again. We want you to know him now as your own precious and personal Savior. Or are you going to still hop between two opinions? You know, the Bible never tells us another thing about King Agrippa. It doesn't tell us he became a Christian. I think it's very sad reading this. Almost there. As good as he to be a Christian. Almost there. Would you like to be persuaded tonight? Well, there'll be an opportunity for you at the end of the meeting, or if you want to get saved now. The last night our brother John fled, when we were sitting in him, he invited someone to come forward. And there was a young man stood right in front of him. One of the fires came forward and trusted the Savior. Yes? It's the same gospel. It's the same power. The apostle says he was not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, because it was the power of God and his salvation to everyone that believed it. If you want to believe tonight, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of God's salvation. Will you trust him tonight for me?